It's time to wake up with a nice cup of morning roast. Featuring
Fillmore's finest, Monte Hill. The pride of the Excelsior, Joe Butcher Boy Shasky. You're listening to 95.7 The Game, the morning roast.
Oh, baby, oh, baby, oh, baby, oh, baby. We're getting closer to Sunday. Niners and Chiefs, the Super Bowl rematch, getting very close. We're getting closer to the Warriors season opener up in Portland. And they'll have a final preseason game tomorrow against the L.A. Lakers at Chase Center. They had an open practice yesterday. We had some baseball playoffs. It's Shohei Ohtani helps the Dodgers gain a 2-1 advantage over the New York Mets. Shohei, Muncy, Kike Hernandez. The Dodgers, I mean, they looked phenomenal yesterday, shutting out the Mets for the second time in the series. Has there been three shutouts so far in that series? Did Dodgers score in game two? Three shutouts. Anyway, I could be wrong there.
They scored a run. I could be wrong.
They could have scored a run late. Yeah, they could have scored a run late. Yeah, 7-3, 7-3.
Yeah, yeah,
so
yeah, okay, there you go.
You got two shutouts. The Mets have been shut out twice there. But we got Niners and Chiefs, so we got the Belichick, Andy Reid, Bill Walsh, coaching tree we'll get into here. But we're getting closer to this game, Shaskin. I'm getting more and more excited.
I am too. And, you know, it's interesting you brought up the NBA. And just for a brief second, I've been watching, well, I guess we're not watching, reading a ton of stuff about the NBA season, mm-hmm. kind of getting myself fired up. And, and there's been a lot of movement, shockingly, in the offseason. Yeah. Just player acquisitions, players coming through. And, you know, I love my lists. And I know you kind of laugh at them and scoff at them. But a new top 10 was revealed.
I saw that.
Did you see it?
Yeah, I saw that.
Did you see where Steph Curry ranks?
Number 6.
I like it.
Oh, yeah. He's still elite.
I like it.
Anthony Edwards cracked the top 10. Durant's at number 9. LeBron at number 7. Shai Gilgeous-Alexander at 4. Giannis at 3. So you get your top 10 players list, and it's always fun. Tatum at 5. Very interesting. Mm-hmm. Coming off of that Olympic run. And look, basketball is going to be legit. I can't wait for the NBA to start. It's a who's who. Everybody's predicted Boston to go back to back.
I kind of am too.
Yeah. They look good.
They have a lot to bet against them.
They have a lot to prove as well, because a lot of people are scoffing at them. The Jaylen Brown Olympic snub. Yeah. Jason Tatum not playing much in the Olympics. Jrue Holiday is a great defender. Horford's still there. They got some ballers, but the Knicks are going to have something to say. We'll see about the Sixers, although I'm Paul George early dealing with an injury. And how about Joel Embiid? We didn't even get into this. Maybe we shouldn't start the show this way, but how about Joel Embiid said that I'm never playing in the back-to-back for the rest of my career?
So what's interesting on things like this, and I know there's medical data that supports and then doesn't support, and then I see people say, like, well, actually building up the callus and playing, you know, all the time is actually better. Like, I've seen it all the different ways. I just think that sometimes it's a roll of the dice, and the way Bonte Hill reacts to back-to-backs isn't the same way as Joe Shasky or Joe Spadoni reacts. I don't know, man. It feels very much like pitching, where I don't think there is science behind it. I think it's just more random.
It's
I know the guy is injury prone. Right. I'm talking about Joel Embiid. I know he's injury prone, but I just. I don't know. What did you make of that?
Well, it's interesting because Bully was just on Cam and Mace's podcast. It is what it is. It's Stat Baby, the girl in the middle who kind of moderates on the panel. So Bully was saying, look, man, there's too many players who I think don't train to play 82 games. They train to play 60, or they train to play 65. It can make a great analogy. It's like, you know, I was talking to a boxer, Riddick Bowe. By the way, he was talking to Riddick Bowe. He was like, yeah, I'm getting ready for this 4-round fight. I'm training for only 4 rounds. Wait, isn't it a 12-round fight? You're not going to train for 12 rounds? You're only going to train for 4? So a lot of basketball, and I'm not going to say that basketball players aren't training to play 82 games. Yeah. But load management is a thing. And, you know, when you get players talking about, I'm just now finding my rhythm, and it's game 55. It's like, wait a minute here. Game 55, you're just now finding the rhythm? What's going on here? So I would trade for 82, and Joel Embiid, maybe he's just that player where, okay, it makes sense for him not to play back-to-backs, and you want to get him ready for the playoffs, but the problem is you get to the playoffs and he gets hurt anyway. I just don't think it's a good look for the consumer who's listening to this saying, wait a minute, we got back-to-backs at our home games.
And I know you're not playing.
And I know you're not playing. My ticket value goes down the drain. All of a sudden, I'm trying to give away tickets. I can't even sell them. I got to give them away. So it's just a... it's not something you say out loud.
I would agree with that. And you know, it's interesting that you bring up like training for 82 games. Like I talk about this a lot in baseball. There's all these pitchers that like, I can only throw 60 pitches. We talked about this with Kyle Harrison.
I was just about to bring that up.
And I remember, what did I say to you? I'm like, how does, like, for example, Rami Suda, who plays on my 12-13U team, how can he throw 110 pitches?
Right.
And we won't pitch him for a week or two after that. But like, how can he go 110? And Kyle Harrison in AAA can go 60 pitches? What are we doing?
That was the weirdest thing about Kyle Harrison, where he's his top prospect, and he's going to be this flame-throwing lefty, and he's only pitching 3 to 4 innings, and there's this hesitance to stretch him out to pitch 7 and 8. What are we doing here? So then, of course he's going to get to the fifth inning this season and flame out.
And then I'm thinking about like the NFL, and you've talked about this a lot, and I've heard a lot of like, whether it's Dante Whitner, whether it's Tom Raffman, whatever, they're like, hey, part of the callus of training camp was we were going to hit each other a lot, and you were going to build up resistance to being hit and throwing your body around. And these are just, again, these are just theories. He's like, I believe that the reason there are so many injuries is because guys aren't accustomed to hitting each other as much. And I kind of buy into some of that. I think there's something to be said for that. He goes, you know, in a boxing situation, you spar to be prepared to go 12 rounds. Yep. And I think that there is, because of the lack of hitting in these camps, you're seeing, like, everybody's fantasy team, it feels every year there's more injuries than ever.
Oh, my gosh. I mean,
you
it's,
see it.
It's patchwork. It's if you can go through a fantasy season, I mean, I've already lost one of my squads. I lost Rashee Rice. I lost Isaiah Pacheco. And there's another league where I lost Rashee Rice. Malik Nabers is in concussion protocol.
Yes.
Jordan Love's already been hurt. My backup was Tua. He got smashed on Thursday Night Football. You know what I mean? And so
Jonathan Taylor.
There's Anthony Richardson. There's a who's who of guys. Look at the 49ers and all their injuries here. So to that point about building calluses up and not having two-a-days, well, it's just ironic that maybe guys were playing injured back in the day because they had to, and they had to get paid. That was the only way they were going to get paid and reach incentives. But it just felt like back in the day, you knew a guy was playing 16. Like Jerry Rice, he's playing 16 games. Steve Young, despite all the injuries, he's going to bounce back and play the next week. I don't know what's going on in today's society when it comes to sports, but guys aren't building up the calluses. Guys aren't hitting in practice. Offensive line play's never been worse. Tackling's never been worse.
No.
You try to eliminate it, say, hey, safety, safety, safety. Well, you might as well just play thud. You know what I'm saying? Put flags on these guys. Pitching-wise, I'm watching Walker Buehler, and they're like, what a great performance for Walker Buehler. He was great for 4 innings. But he only went 4 innings. And I know he's coming off of Tommy John. But all these guys, Gerrit Cole, what a gutsy performance. I'm looking at Gerrit Cole's stat line. I'm watching the game saying, well, he gave up 6 hits and he walked 4 guys. That's 10 base runners.
Well, it's interesting that you bring this part of it up, because everyone's like, you can't let your starter go through the lineup a third time. And now more data's coming out. Well, yeah, but if you use the same bullpen arms in a series, eventually people pick up on those bullpen arms in a 5 and 7 game sample, right? And so it's funny how everything's kind of coming back around, and we're like, well, wait a minute, maybe the starter matters.
Yeah, I don't know when this happened or if too many trainers or too many like off-season trainers got involved in the game. It kind of dictated some things for athletes in terms of baseball, basketball, even tennis or whatnot, where it's just like, wait, we can't do this. Wait, we got to scale back. Or like, there's all this off-season, like basketball, for example. I hear from Bully and D-Wright, and especially D-Wright, because he coaches the youth.
Mm-hmm.
And he coaches AAU, and he goes, the way these guys are getting coached
is
all bad. And the way they're training, wait a minute, you're training in non-game day like atmospheres, and you're not training for games. You're just training for drills that don't apply to a game.
Did you see the Tracy McGrady video that's floating all across the internet?
No.
I think it's applicable to soccer, to rugby, to basketball, to baseball, to all of these different youth sports that you see around. He goes, look, man, these AAU tournaments are preparing you to play 5 tournaments in a day. But when you get to your high school, what are you playing? You're playing maybe 2 or 3 times a week. It's totally different.
Mm-hmm.
He's like, and in these AAU tournaments, what are they all running? Full court press, in high school, you go to a high school game. Is it full court press for both teams all game?
No, it's
a lot of like zone and work the offense. And he goes, and then it's Clank City when you go to these high school games. Yep. And he goes, it's not indicative of all the games they play during the summer. And then he was contrasting that with the Europeans and how they come into the game. He goes, they're all slow as molasses. Mm-hmm. They don't care about jumping the highest or running the fastest. Nope. What they're worried about is half-court execution. Yep. Seeing the floor, being able to pass into small windows. And it was just a fascinating look. And I think that our society has become so obsessed from 9 years old to 14 years old. Mm-hmm. How can we play the most amount of games, win the most amount of trophies, squeeze all the money from the parents, and not develop your child to make the high school team?
It's awful.
It's backwards to me. I'm not saying everyone. There are a lot of great programs, because this is, people say this like, hey, you said, no. There are some great programs.
There's great AAU programs.
There are, but there's a lot of them that aren't preparing your child to simply make the freshman or JV team.
Here's the thing, 415 Comcast Business Sex Line, this may be true. Hey, Bonte, I think the athletes like it because they get paid more and play less, which could be true for some of these guys, but the real ballers.
I mean,
look at Steph.
Thank you.
LeBron, the guy wants to play. LeBron wants to play.
Plays.
Giannis wants to play. Dame Dalla wants to play. You know what I'm saying? Russell Westbrook, say what you want about him. The guy wants to play. Kevin Durant is a basketball savant. He wants to play. And that's the difference. There's a lot of guys who do get paid and don't mind playing less, where you get the competitors like Michael Jordan. You'd have to drag him off the court.
Yeah.
Steve Young, you literally had to get hit and have his eyes closed on Monday Night Football and basically say, Steve, it's time to go. You had to drag him off the football field. Jerry Rice tried to play for the Seahawks and the Denver Broncos. The guy couldn't give it up. And that maybe is the difference, where too many kids are saying, you know what, I don't have to play as much. And maybe they just get burnt out. But I got something for you. As we were talking about top 10 players and player movement and whatnot.
I'm just excited for the NBA.
I'm stoked. How about this? It's Sam Amick's latest piece in The Athletic.
Did it just get dropped this morning?
He was talking to Giannis Antetokounmpo.
Oh.
And I had this quote waiting for you. Because we always talk about disgruntled superstars and who's going to be a player and whatnot.
Let me get ready.
Well, Giannis Antetokounmpo thinks he might be traded if the Bucks don't win the championship. Here's what Giannis had to say. Yeah, if we don't win a championship, I might get traded. This is the job we live. This is the world we are living in. It's everybody. At any given moment, if you don't succeed, that might be it for us. If you don't do a good enough job, you're out. And now the seeds are being planted. It's another way of basically saying, yeah, if we don't win, get me up out of there. Yeah, if we don't win, it may be time for me to bolt and
What's
throw up the deuces.
Hey,
I'm just saying, bookmark this quote, think about it, and think about the position the Warriors are in.
How long have we been flirting as a station? Forget the fan base. Yeah. This station. How many years have we been flirting with Giannis Antetokounmpo? How many Guru and Steiny segments have been built around, can we get Giannis? And I'm not knocking them. We've done it as well.
Yeah, no doubt. But
slap me for what I'm doing.
What? What? God, I love you.
All I'm saying is there's always a chance. And there's always a chance with this organization now, the Golden State Warriors, because they signed Kevin Durant. They got the big fish. They made the trade for Andre Iguodala.
Well, they have Steph.
Steph. Well, it starts with Steph. But this organization does have credibility now, and players come in. I remember people thought I was a player for the Warriors. King Cell. Welcome to Milwaukee Bucks.
I walk into the Milwaukee Bucks locker room.
And I go, Giannis, it was Greek night. I was like, man. He goes, they always do Greek night when I come here. I love it, man. Me and my brother kind of sit out and watch the ceremonies or whatnot. And I was like, man, what's up? And so I asked him, I was like, man, did you see the Warrior fans who had your name on the jersey or whatnot? He goes, I'm not going to answer that. Nah, you're not going to get me on that one. People started laughing or whatnot. And then I got all this blowback from other writers like, do Warriors have media members on their payroll or whatnot? Look at them. But anyway, Giannis has always loved this area. He's always loved it.
We've got a lot of pieces.
We got Greek fans out in Oakland. We got a lot of pieces.
All right, so here's the question. A one-on-one, because you have to take the, you know, he's going to staple Thanos to the deal. You know that, right?
Well, you guys are ready to take Bronny and LeBron,
so
right?
So that's my question. One-on-one, who wins, Thanasis versus Bronny?
Oh, Thanasis, he's bigger. That's the size advantage.
He's got a highlight tape of missed shots.
Obvious.
That is one of the greatest clips I've ever seen.
Listen, he's something different. But I'm not saying
he's a great Warriors cheerleader, are gonna get, though. He's so good. I love him.
Before we get clipped and people start tweeting at us or whatnot, I'm just saying, Giannis is saying that he thinks he might be traded to Bucks over the championship. I'm looking at the Warriors' position, which is why not re-signing Klay Thompson is not the worst thing in the world, and letting Chris Paul go is not the worst thing in the world. Not trading for Paul George is not the worst thing in the world, and not getting Lowry marketed is not the worst thing in the world, because you still have plenty of assets and financial flexibility to make a big boy move. And if they don't give Jonathan Kuminga a contract extension or Moses Moody a contract extension, they're in a great spot right now. They got a good roster. I think they have a lot of depth. And in the offseason, if things don't work out for them, you know what? They're going to be in a position to strike. They will be. They're going to be in the mix. That's the thing with the Warriors now. Like the 49ers and John Lynch, they're always in a mix for a superstar.
How much is Giannis making?
I haven't even looked it up.
So you're going to throw in getting wiggy with it. You're going to throw in what else?
I don't know.
Well,
I'm just
going to start doing it.
Now
I'm thinking about it.
No, I mean, you know, I don't
what's
know what's going
50?
On. Here, let me pull it up.
Pull it up.
I got to pull it up here. You got to sit at a coupon. Salary here. Salary per year. Oh, wow. He's making some big boy money. average salary of $45 million.
Oh, that's feasible.
It's not 60. His cap hit. Wow, 54, 58, 62. He's got the player option at 33 years old.
Would you rather pay Giannis $50 million or freaking Kuminga $41 million? Like, just do the math yourself. Come on, people. And I like Kuminga, but come on.
Adam, it's too much.
Do you see some guy with the Raptors that he could walk up and Emmanuel quickly? No one knows who he is. He's making $50 million a year. Again, nice player, young guy. No, he's on the rise. Emmanuel quickly could walk up to the entire room, shake your hand. I'm Emmanuel quickly. You'd be like, who? What sport? I mean, other than the fact that he's tall. You'd be like, what sport do you play?
Hockey. I'm not in a position to start talking about who you would just trade for or whatnot, but I just think
I trade
if the Warriors
game.
Are big games, if they're big game hunting, this is something that the Lakers, this is something that Mike Dunleavy are bookmarking, and the league knows it too, and the entire league is saying, boy, if Milwaukee doesn't win and this is another flame out and Chris Middleton gets older, I don't know what you do, because I love Kuminga, I love all these guys. I'm just saying, they're going to be in the mix or something.
I thought Dame was supposed to be the magic elixir.
No, they made a mistake in trading Jrue Holiday. And because Chris Middleton has not been the same.
That is
true. And that, to me, is the X factor. Once Chris Middleton and that knee went all bad and got balky, you know, that's it.
You don't want to go balky.
Boston is seven.
You don't want to go balky.
You gotta
Google it.
So it's interesting. It's interesting that Giannis would say that as we get ready for the Warriors season. We're going to get back into Niners and Chiefs. We've got a great guest list today. River Island's guest promotion today, Herb Edwards, 720. Patrick Peterson, who joined us about 3 weeks ago to talk about the passing game of the 49ers, says some really good things. He'll join us at 8 o'clock. Our boy Jake Hutchinson, our 95.7 The Game insider, he'll also join us. And don't forget, all guests on 95.7 The Game appear on the River Island's guest line. Isn't it time for you to discover the islands, River Islands in Lathrop? And shout out to our great friends at Flowing Water Plumbing and Drain. If you're going to call it to the roast, better bring it, because if you don't, you will be flushed. Brought to you by Flowing Water Plumbing and Drain. Let's get the Niners and Chiefs on the other side. 888-957-9570 is the number. We've got a lot of good stuff planned for you. We'll reveal it on the other side. Brought to you by O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Mahomes claims it. We talked about him saving all day. He's going to fake a motion to go across. And at that moment, he turns and goes back. Hartman, who they didn't have, right? And they go get Hartman and bring him back. And the game-winning drive of Mahomes' career, he's been waiting for. He's won Super Bowls, but he's never had it. And in overtime, he is the best. He is the standard. And Michael Jordan wins it again.
I hate him.
Tony Romo, Jim Nantz, CBS Sports. Boy, boy, oh boy, oh boy. See Mahomes on Sunday. We see Mahomes on Sunday in the Kansas City Chiefs. They're 5-0. Niners are 3-3. Kansas City coming off a bye week. What's Andy Reid? Like 28-3 off a bye. I see 24-3. Whatever. Numbers are great. Guy's got three losses off a bye week since he's been coaching as an NFL head coach, and he's been an NFL head coach for 26 years. 26 years. Andy Reid's been in the game for 33 years. We'll get into Andy Reid and Belichick and Walsh and the coaching tree a little bit later. But I know you want to throw something at me here, but they came in with the Mahomes sound, and we're kind of kicking around some stuff in the show thread yesterday. And I have some wild takes. I do. Wild takes. Bold takes. Got to be bold. Got to have an opinion, right, in this industry. So at one point I said, you know, Purdy's playing better than Mahomes right now. He's not a better quarterback, but he's actually playing better football. And everybody's just kind of stopped, and you hear all these car accidents outside, like, what? What are you talking about? Early this season, hey, Purdy's playing a little better than Joe Burrow. I walked it back because the internet got me. The roasters got me, and I felt the heat. So I said, you know what? I'm just going to be cool, man, because Purdy's such a polarizing player. But honestly, if you take the regular season, dating back to week one of last season, these numbers will blow you away when it comes to Purdy and Mahomes. And I'll say it, as great as Mahomes is, and I get it, we're going to take Mahomes number one on our draft boards. He's the best quarterback in the league. He's got three championships. He's on his way to greatness. Could be the greatest of all time. But what if I told you in the regular season, and I know people say, Bonte, the playoffs, the playoffs, the playoffs. Since week one of the regular season, last year when the Niners opened up in Pittsburgh, and Kansas City opened up at home against Detroit, Purdy's been a better quarterback. He's been a better, more productive quarterback.
By the stats.
By the numbers, and you know what? Maybe by the eye test. Let me throw these numbers at you, Shasky. This is going to blow you away. I was looking at this last night. I couldn't believe it. So Purdy, since the start of the regular season, when they opened up in Pittsburgh.
Last year.
Purdy's thrown for damn near 6,000 yards in 22 games.
Incredible.
40 touchdown passes, 15 picks, completion percentage is 68%, rating 109.3. I mean, it's been great. Then you add the 271 yards on the ground, another two touchdowns. Phenomenal. Patrick Mahomes in 21 games since the start of the regular season because he sat out the last week of the season. Patrick Mahomes, only 33 touchdown passes, 20 interceptions, 91.8 quarterback rating, 67% completion percentage. I mean, the regular season, the numbers are, I'm like, what? Mahomes has thrown five more picks in one less game.
Okay, but, I mean, are you factoring in the context of one guy makes $50 million, and so your weapons are going to be less expensive, and you have to go younger, which they did through the draft, and the other guy makes less than $1 million, and your weapons are very expensive?
There's no doubt.
Right? Like, that's baked into. The other thing is this, and this is just how I view it. You could tell me, Joe, there are three young basketball players playing better basketball since the start of last year than Steph Curry. I don't care. Steph Curry.
No, I hear you.
I don't care what stats you throw in my face because it's Steph Curry. There are certain guys who supersede the numbers, and Mahomes is at that spot. It's like, to me, and I get it, Purdy's been awesome. To me, it's more of a look how great Purdy's been than Purdy's better than Mahomes.
No,
and I don't think that's what you're saying.
No, I'm not saying that at all.
I think you're just trying to basically say, like, he's been so good, his stats are significantly better than Mahomes.
I think it goes to that, too. You know, look, I'm not taking, yes, I'm going to make myself clear because I know how people twist words.
Him.
I never said I would take Mahomes over Purdy.
That.
But I think we underrate how well Purdy has been playing. And these weapons that, you know, these weapons that Purdy has had, Jimmy had these weapons, Trey had these weapons. He's taking this to another level. And so I'm not going to sit here and buy and say these regular seasons it means nothing here. He's thrown for damn near 600 more yards than Patrick Mahomes. Not only that, it tells me that Purdy hasn't played at such a high level that for some reason we're just sick, scared to say, damn, this guy's playing elite football. And yeah, I get the weapons, right? Mahomes is making all the money. They got rid of Tyreek Hill. He still has Travis Kelce. You still have Andy Reid. You still have Matt Nagy. You have all these great offensive minds in the room. All right, I'm going to take away Matt Nagy. I'm just flexing. Andy Reid's right there. Mahomes is great. There's no doubt about it. But when you look at the side-by-side comparison, and you look at just the numbers, and you watch the games, Purdy's been excellent. And I think Purdy's we underrate that, and we're afraid to say it, that Purdy has been playing at a very high level.
But there are, true, but there are certain people where it just, the stats are irrelevant. Like Shohei Ohtani, you referenced Shohei Ohtani, and I'm like, I don't need to see stats to know he's freaking awesome. Now, does that data back it up? Of course it backs it up. Here's what I know. Patrick Mahomes, in back-to-back years, won the Super Bowl. Patrick Mahomes, in back-to-back years, was down 10 in the second half of both of those Super Bowls and won the Super Bowl.
No doubt.
Patrick Mahomes is one of the greatest players the sport has ever seen.
There's no
doubt. I think in real time, I'm already ready to pass the baton from Brady to him.
Oh, I'm not ready.
And he's not even 30.
Let's chill on that. Let's chill.
Okay, I mean,
but I get that point of view. But you know what people say the weapons that Purdy had? This is why we wanted to see the L.A. Rams game. What did Purdy do without all those weapons in the L.A. Rams game?
He looked really good, but
it was damn near a perfect game.
But they lost.
Yeah, but it was damn near a perfect game. They lost.
I agree.
But it wasn't on him. We came out of that game saying, damn, Purdy was excellent. Look at Juwan Jennings having a career day. Wow. Who is he throwing to here? Threw a perfect down to Roddy Bell. He drops it. Drops it with his chest. So I think the question's kind of been asked, with Purdy without weapons, can he still function as a quarterback? We had a small sample size. He functioned very well as a quarterback.
Who's a young, like, okay, Jamal Murray. Let's just use Jamal Murray as an example. Like, your heart is into the Steph Curry thing, right? Would you agree?
Absolutely.
If I came in here with a bunch of data, it's like, you know, Jamal Murray's actually been the better player for the last 2 years, you'd laugh at me.
Steph has been a better player, though. We see Jamal in the playoffs.
I'm just saying, if I had data that supported that the numbers, when he's on the floor, were significantly better, you'd say, yeah, but it's Steph Curry and he's Jamal Murray.
But also Jamal Murray's playing with probably the best player in the league.
Okay, then maybe I take away Jamal Murray.
Jokic has been awesome. And I'm not saying, look, again, I want to make it clear.
Pick the guy.
I'm going to make it clear.
If I said to you, Jalen Brunson, I'm just saying, like, just think of what we sound like. If I came in here to a Warrior market and I was like, Jalen Brunson's better than Steph Curry, look at the numbers. People would be like, it's Steph Curry.
Yeah, no, it's the raw data. I get it. But all I'm saying is, we don't give Brock Purdy enough credit. As we look at this Super Bowl, as we look at this quarterback matchup, the numbers have been excellent. And so the Chiefs' defense has been really, really good. Has the Niners' defense been good? No, the offense over the last season and a half has had to carry this defense. They had to carry this defense. Those are facts right there. I get Mahomes as a generational talent. He is. I'm not saying I will take anybody over Patrick Mahomes. I want to make myself clear. By the way, Jimmy did have CMC. He had CMC for a couple games and probably started playing his best football with Christian McCaffrey. So that's not factually correct, 5-0. He did have CMC. Brock Purdy, what he has done, I think we underrate what he's done as we're going into this big game. And we keep talking about Mahomes and Andy Reid and Kelce and how great Kansas City is. Well, you know what? For the first time in a long time, the Niners may have their quarterback. They may have their quarterback. And so you want to factor in the weapons? Okay, great. We can factor in the weapons all the time. We pick and choose when we do this stuff, right? But Brock Purdy has shown, with weapons or without weapons, the guy's pretty damn good.
I agree with that.
It just blows me in the way that the raw data, because all the fantasy football heads will tell you, we take Mahomes in the fifth round or fourth round of the fantasy football draft. I can wait on Brock Purdy in the fourth round and get better production. It's kind of fascinating to me.
I mean, fantasy football is a whole nother, like,
it's a whole nother weapon.
It's a whole nother, like, algorithm, because Matt Stafford for years was a fantasy god.
No doubt.
And everyone was like, yeah, he's never won a playoff game. You know what I mean? So, I don't know. But I would say this, is that me personally, I don't see a lot of people just that I talk football with that are like, Purdy sucks. Most people are like, yeah, Purdy's really good. Now, do they think he's as good as the numbers that you reference? Probably not. Probably people sleep on that to that degree. I think most normal fans think he's really good.
I would hope so. I still have a segment of friends saying, we just don't know yet.
As in, we don't know what?
We don't know if he's worth the $60 million or the $50 million or
whatnot.
That's
a different question.
You know what I'm saying? Well, it's just, that's what we're going to have to start basing this off of. Is he playing as well as a guy who's making $50 million a year?
Well,
Purdy is playing as well as a guy making $50 million a year. It's hard to say it. It's hard to compartmentalize. But Purdy has played as well as a guy who's making $50 million a season over the last season.
Making $50 million. Deshaun Watson, who sucks, and Tua, who is always hurt, okay, and had a monster year last year.
Playing a lot better than those guys.
I would take Purdy in a San Francisco second over Tua and Deshaun, and it's not even close. So if that's what $50 million is worth, then Purdy is absolutely worth $50
million. But isn't it crazy that Mahomes, who's getting this $50 million, that Purdy over the last season and a half in the regular season has played just as well as it's hard to say. It's hard to compartmentalize it. I know people are going to crush me for saying it.
He was an MVP candidate. I think
I'm looking at the Comcast Business Text Line. I think people do think it's outlandish. It is kind of crazy that this guy, who was the last pick of the NFL draft, has played as well, if not better, in the regular season than one of the greatest quarterbacks we've ever seen.
I mean, there's different ways of looking at this. Mahomes makes his money winning four games last year on the road, essentially. Mm-hmm. Like, oh, I guess the one was at home against Miami. But, like, he's a playoff guy now. The regular season is irrelevant to Patrick Mahomes. No doubt. There is almost nothing he can do in a regular season to sway everyone's opinion. Now it's about legacy and championships and filling the cabinet. Whereas Purdy is trying to get that first one.
Yep.
I just think they're at different spots in their career.
No, they're in different spots. They're in different spots, no doubt about it. But it's just polarizing to me that nobody will ever bring that up nationally. Nobody would bring this up nationally that Purdy has played just as well as a lot of quarterbacks in this league. And for some reason, I still think there's, even on Sunday, right, the Jackals, as Guru would say, are ready to hop on Brock Purdy if he can't help this team against a great defense in Kansas City, if he can't help the Niners win that game on Sunday. Like, if he wins that game on Sunday.
Well, I'll tell you, all the good quarterbacks in the league, Joe Burrow, Josh Allen, Aaron Rodgers, like when he was good, everyone is waiting to jump down their throat for why they lost all the time. All the time.
Right.
Had Josh Allen lost that game to that Jets team, I could have seen the next day everyone. That's what happens at the position. Now, I do believe Brock, more than most, gets over-criticized nationally.
Exactly. And those guys are made men. We can continue the conversation. 888-957-9570. We got Herm Edwards coming up at 720. The former coach of the New York Jets and, of course, the Kansas City Chiefs. We'll talk to Herm Edwards at 720 about this game on Sunday. We'll get into Andy Reid and Bill Belichick as well. What coaching tree would you rather have? Bill Walsh, Andy Reid, or Bill Belichick? Fascinating coaching trees. We'll get into that too as well. That's coming up, brought to you by Fremont Bank, celebrating 60 years of full service banking with no compromises.
I'm afraid that it's going to have to be Jimmy Garoppolo that gets it done.
Hey, it's Verducci from EDH, and you're listening to The Morning Roast with Bonte and Chasky on 95.7 The Game. Sprinkle me, man.
Shout out to the EDH, Eldorado Hills. Shout out to Troy Aikman of Fox, or formerly a Fox, now on ESPN. Love you some Aikman and Buck. Segment sponsored by Golden State Lumber, serving the Bay Area for three generations. When you succeed, we succeed. Visit GoldenStateLumber.com. What's funny about the conversation about just saying, hey, raw data tells you Purdy's been more productive as a quarterback than Mahomes, right? You get he plays with four All-Pros. Pretty interesting to me when we think about the dialogue we've had this offseason about the 49ers said All-Pros. There's a lot of people ready to move off of Ayuk saying, well, he's really not that good. We hear the conversation with Deebo Samuel, well, he can't get off a press man. He can't get off a bump and run coverage. He's washed. Some fans say that. Kittle. Well, Kittle's still solid. He's still a big-time player. So I don't want to hear the excuse about, well, he plays with four All-Pros. Because which one is it? Are they All-Pros or not? With the way people talk about these weapons here, I don't know if they're All-Pros or not. From what we had, the conversations we had about Brandon Ayuk, with a big segment of the fan base, who cares about an All-Pro? Yeah, Purdy. Purdy made him better. So give Purdy his love. That's all I'm saying.
Yeah, I think the majority of Niner fans give him his appropriate love, and we all want all the weapons. I mean, right. Why do you think Josh Allen made a trade for Amari Cooper? They want good weapons, yep. Right? Like, there's not a doubt in my mind. Why are the Chiefs kind of limping in this week? They don't have Rashee Rice, who's developing into one of the best weapons in the league, right? So there's no question about it. People are, I think that the skeptics on Purdy are going to be there for as long as he is playing quarterback without multiple Super Bowls. It feels very Steph Curry-esque. No, he's not as good as Steph Curry was in his sport, but in the same way that Steph was diluted and, well, actually, at every single turn, I feel like we do the same. Not we. I feel like the cynics do the same thing with Purdy.
That's what I'm saying.
And you can't win them all. But, but to me, that's a, I think we're wasting our energy trying to win those people over because they're not going to be won over.
I don't care about winning
Lamar
them over.
Lamar Jackson people, right? There are a segment of people who will never give Lamar Jackson his appropriate due.
And he's the best player in the league right now.
Now, I would also say, like, I love Lamar, and I think he's awesome, but there is something to be said, like, man, the guy can't win the playoffs. Like, why are we, and this is more the coordinator, but why are you not running the ball in the playoffs? I mean, you ran it six times against the Chiefs? That's your bread and butter.
Right. Well, you know what? They're going to run it this year with King Henry and Lamar Jackson. We'll have Baldy in studio tomorrow.
But I root for him.
As we have breakfast with Baldy, and he's playing clips of King Henry and their fullback Ricard. I formation late in the game. Nobody wants to tackle King Henry. And I think Lamar Jackson is throwing the ball better than he ever has in the pocket, outside of the pocket. I think Lamar Jackson's playing. He's right now head and shoulders the best player in the league. It's not even close, but I'm going to read a couple texts here. 734 from the Comcast Business Text Line. I'm in Michigan, and Lion fans out here saw firsthand Purdy beating their team, and I still every Sunday have people tell me he's overrated and not good. Well, that's going to, like, to your point, that's going to maybe follow and surround Brock Purdy for his entire career. For his entire career. As someone, 262, as someone who spent two decades living and dying by the Packers playoff games, Purdy is a better playoff quarterback than Favre or Rodgers so far. But the head coach, this text cut off. So, but the head-to-head outcomes are big for this Mahomes comparison since both teams are on top of the mountain. Purdy has got to slay the dragon to get respect he deserves. This guy who lived and died with Packer football is already saying Purdy's a better playoff quarterback than Favre and Rodgers. Those two are bona fide Hall of Famers.
Well, Aaron Rodgers did come up short a lot in the playoffs, right?
So did Favre.
During the regular season, this actually is an interesting point. Like, you can make an argument Aaron Rodgers is one of the greatest regular season quarterbacks ever.
Yep.
Peyton Manning, too.
Yep.
But when we talk about the greatest players ever at the position, it feels like it's, in some order, Montana, Brady, Mahomes up here, and those other guys are just a tick down.
Maybe another tier down.
But that goes to, once you reach elite status, now we're judging you by trophies, right? Like, that's just what it is.
Is Purdy there yet? Elite status, is he there yet?
Where, well, once he gets
we can
the
judge
money,
him by...
Yeah, like, I've thought about this, like, often and long and hard, and I'm thinking to myself, like, all right, when did it change for Dak? Being the Cowboy quarterback just comes with so much scrutiny. Dak was so lovable for a lot of people early on. It's like, wow, fourth round pick, he got a DUI before the draft, he dropped, he seems like a good dude, it was a mistake, he admitted it, and he's making very little money, he took Tony Romo's job, they go to the playoff, they go 12-4, whatever it was.
See, I think that's when it changed, is when he took Romo's job.
I thought he was pretty lovable, and maybe I'm misremembering it.
He was lovable.
I think the minute he got paid, the question was, is he worth it? Well, you know, how good is he? I think Dak is really good. Do I think he's worth $60, $65 million? So, yes, because I know multiple teams will pay it, but it's how you surround that guy with talent. Mm-hmm. I think Dak would be, if they drafted better in later rounds and had other talent, I actually think he'd be better. Now, he has been the reason, a big part, why they fail in the playoffs, because in the playoffs, he turns the ball over in the first half, left and right.
Turns the ball over way too much.
Right?
Way
and so, too much. So Dak is a great example of a guy who, he's had some great regular seasons.
Yes.
His raw numbers are incredible.
They are.
And then they get to the playoffs, and he crumbles.
He does. And I think part of that is head coaching. I think play calling. I think personnel.
Himself.
But also, I do think Dak is a little different because you took a guy's job who was lovable in that fan base, Tony Romo. We forget how lovable he was with the Dallas Cowboys. He was a rock star.
Man,
and so when Romo didn't get his job back and Dak lost that playoff game, you know, it was always, we don't know about Dak. We don't know about Dak. We don't know about Dak. Purdy, do we know about him yet?
I mean, he has more, just going off the deck, he has more signature wins in December and January than Dak's ever had.
Some crazy, right?
I mean, that he's been that good. And I think that the evidence is a little overwhelming at this point. And this is just where I side and how I like judge these quarterbacks. Would Josh Allen be really good with, let's just say, the top 12 to 15 OCs that are out there, head coaches, play callers, whoever you go? Yeah, I think he would. Would Lamar Jackson be really good with the top 12? Because circumstances matter. You could be the greatest player ever, like you're Andrew Luck, and you go to the Indianapolis Colts, and it could ruin you. You could physically be ruined. If I gave Stefanski right now, who I actually really like, who was coach of the year a couple years ago, Brock Purdy, would he be good? Yeah, I think he'd be really good. If I gave Ben Johnson Brock Purdy, would he be good? Yeah, I think he'd be really good.
See?
If I gave, and even though I can't stand this guy, but your boy in Denver, come on.
Sean Payton.
If I gave Sean Payton Brock Purdy, would they be? Yeah, I think he'd be really good. So that's kind of how I do the algorithm. I know other people do it their way. I do the same. Let's do Joe Burrow. Go around the league. How many teams would Joe Burrow be good on, right? In different offenses. That, to me, shows me, yeah, he's a really good player.
So you're kind of coming around to my point here, that Brock Purdy has proven over the last 22 games that he'll succeed no matter what, and the production is off the charts. And we're just afraid to say it. For some reason, it becomes polarized. For example, the Burrow conversation. It's like, man, Purdy's playing better football than Burrow over the last season and a half. And Burrow's got T. Higgins, Ja'Marr Chase, and he had Joe Mixon. He had Boyd in the slot. Boy, he's got weapons. And think about how polarizing that was. Really, Burrow? Last year.
Well, Burrow's the only guy to beat. Real quick, though.
Right. He
beats
Mahomes.
The only guy to beat Mahomes, essentially,
well,
in the playoffs.
Well, he beat that defense, and
outside
I get
of Brady.
It.
And then the other thing is, Burrow, like Steph Curry, inherited one of the worst organizations in sports.
See, and I do cringe a little bit when we say he beat this guy. I don't even know why we do it, because they don't play against each other. And you remember that AFC Championship game, Kansas City up 21-3. They don't score before the half. They throw some bad turnovers and whatnot. No, Burrow did his thing. They wanted Arrowhead, so he gets credit for that. There's no doubt about that.
Mahomes himself has said, like he's the one guy that's got my number. He said that.
Yeah, he said
I couldn't
that.
Believe
he's
that.
Got my number, but, you know, it's still kind of like.
I know.
It bothers me.
This is what happens with the quarterbacks. Like, the quarterback. And I think the other part of this is that Shanahan's such a rock star. People dilute what Purdy's doing. And it's like, oh, it's the Shanahan system, more so than the weapons around him. And they do have big superstar personalities around him. I mean, Christian McCaffrey's on the cover of Madden. Trent Williams is considered the best left tackle in the last 40 years. You know, Brandon Ayuk, okay. Is he elite? People think he's a top 15 receiver. That's pretty good. Deebo Samuel, for all the things he isn't, what we do know that he is a butt kicker on Sundays.
Now, let's not dilute Kansas City's personnel, their offensive line, and the running backs they churn out, and the speed they have on offense, and the generational tight end they have, and the head coach we're going to get into, who many consider one of the top five head coaches in all of football. We can't dilute that with Kansas City. We act like they got nothing but chopped liver out there.
No, but
they've had playmakers.
They're a great example. I'm glad you bring that up. Like, we were talking about Dak. Who's Dak's running back this year? Zeke Elliott?
Well, they're terrible. Dak's terrible.
So this is what Kansas City did, and this is a credit to the situation he's in, which is out of Mahomes' hands.
Yep.
They drafted Isaiah Pacheco in the 7th round, and he looks like a stud. You know, they brought in your boy Hunt, and no one wanted to touch him. And he comes in, and he's ancient, and he gets 100 yards. It's like, wow. They bring in Juju Smith-Schuster,
but fits. But doesn't it say something more about the Kansas City organization?
Of course.
You think about Kareem Hunt going to Cleveland. Cleveland's a dumpster fire. Cleveland's an absolute dumpster fire. Juju goes to New England. They had Joe Judge and Matt Patricia call a place. You know what I mean? So
fit
in the organization matters. Circumstances. And
yeah, I agree.
Juju at one point was really, really good with the Pittsburgh Steelers. Juju was on the rise, and then the TikTok videos took over, and he got into the riff with Antonio Brown, and we thought, Juju, oh, man, Juju's this and Juju's that. But Purdy's been really damn good, really damn good. So, you know, I just, even earlier this season, or last season, I remember when I said, man, Purdy's playing better football than Patrick Mahomes, and people didn't even want me to utter that sentence.
Again, because Mahomes is in the LeBron